Now I'm going to read to you from my fourth novel called The Moonshiner's Daughter. This story takes place in 1960 in Wilkes County, North Carolina, also known as the Moonshine Capital of the World. And it's a story of 16-year-old Jessie Sasser, who was born into a legacy of moonshining that she wants nothing to do with because she's pretty sure it's what killed her mother. And she sets out to destroy the family stills. And when she does so, that backfires and puts in motion a confrontation with a family named the Murrays, who are in competition with them for the moonshine business. I'm just going to read to you the first page and a half or so of this chapter. The only memory I have of Mama, she was on fire. I'd been watching my baby brother Merritt digging in the dirt when I heard a subtle pop, then a loud explosion, and the big pot Daddy and Mama were always tending suddenly burst into flames, and so did Mama. The sight made me grip hold of Merritt's hand hard enough to make him squeal. Daddy would sometimes have to burn tent caterpillars. He'd hold a flaming end to the white cottony fuzz woven around the branches of the apple trees, and as the nests blazed, the black wormy bodies fell and hit the ground like the soft patter of raindrops. Fire always saved the fruit, but it's what took Mama from us. Mama took off running, going this way and that. Daddy yelled, "Lydia!" Then, "Stay there, Jesse," to me. Merritt had already gone back to stabbing a stick in the mud over and over, making baby noises, completely unaware. Mama beat her hands against her head. Then they caught fire, too. She ran in a zigzag pattern as if performing a strange and chaotic dance. Daddy tried to catch her, yelling over and over, "Stop running!" Somehow she evaded him, his efforts to help. He stumbled, twisted his ankle, and then he couldn't run near as fast, staggering after her, limping badly. She didn't make any noise until the last seconds before she fell when she shrieked his name. "Easton!" The cry came long and high-pitched, like a siren. She faltered, collapsed, everything from her head down to the top of her legs consumed. Daddy threw himself over her, smacking his hands along her body. His movements frantic, he jerked his t-shirt over her head and pulled it down as far as it would go. If the flames singed him while he held her, he didn't act like he noticed. Puffs of smoke curled and drifted around them like tiny gray clouds, while an odd stench penetrated my nose, a distinct smell that held me rooted in place. The imprint of her face came through his shirt. I quit crying and waited for them to get up, for her to start laughing and say, "Did I scare you?" The fabric over her face where her mouth pushed against the cloth was a perfect oval. The only movement, a slow sucking in and out of the now smutty material. That spot mesmerized me. In, out. After a few seconds, the area no longer moved. Daddy struggled to sit upright, still cradling her upper half. Her arms lay limp at her sides, hands blackened. He tilted his head like he didn't understand what happened any more than I did. He bent close, whispered in the area of her ear, "Lydia?" Mama didn't answer, didn't move. I remained fixated, waiting. He pulled his shirt up and away. Where she'd been creamy skinned, she was raw, charred, peeling. Her hair was mostly gone, and only a few wispy clumps still clung to her skull, while her blouse was near about scorched off. It didn't matter, though, because everything, her face, the lack of movement, was wrong, all wrong. It was as if she'd melted away, and my world turned as lopsided as the crooked bend of her torso in his arms. Merritt had lost interest in his dirt digging and started toward them, steps unsteady, as he made his way over the roots and leaves, dragging the stick along the ground. He whispered, "Mama, Mama, Mama," but this was overtaken by Daddy's gasping. He appeared to be trying to breathe, for the both of them. He made noises, such as I'd never heard before. I mimicked Merritt, whispering, "Mama?" This is what I remember. The three of us making our distress known, while Mama lay forever silent.